Yoga Nidra awareness is important. You don't lose it. Yet your whole body, mind, nervous system, both sets of muscles get completely rest. You understand? And you don't need sleep if you really know what Yoga Nidra is. I'm not boasting this. This is not good to say. But sometimes I go without sleep, usual sleep, for 7 days, 10 days. You know. Because of Yoga Nidra. Half an hour is sufficient for me for 24 hours. Some 20 minutes, 10 minutes. And I do my usual work. I play tennis. I give music lessons and then I do things, what I have to do. I don't feel fatigued. And if I sleep deep, 3 hours, and then compare Yoga Nidra, I find Yoga Nidra better, superior than the ordinary sleep, 3 hours sleep and 10 minutes Yoga Nidra. I like to have Yoga Nidra. There is one character in Ramayana. His name is Kumbhakarna. He was a great yogi. You see, there is one book that we have still to publish. Dr. Arya took it from me. The book, that name, Yogi, one of the yogis brought it from Ceylon. The name of that book is Kumbhakarna Ramayana. You see. In that, it is mentioned how he used to sleep for 6 months. He used to remain awake for 6 months. You see. So, how to go to that state of latent, only yogis can do that, you see. But such practices are done, intense practices are conducted or done, practiced when you have enough time. In a busy schedule like of yours, you don't have to go so deep, but practice Yoga Nidra, which is practical for you. It's a very good practice. Please learn to do that. It will help you. Now I go to next step. When you blow, make yourself, you see, Ismith's, what is it called? Bellows, eh? So, then you blow off, what? The ashes, by creating the sound with the help of breathing. So hum, so hum. It's actually not mantra, it's awareness. That I am that, I am that, I am that. So means this, hum means that. I am that, I am that, I am that. You see, soul, individual soul, and Paramatman, the cosmic soul, they are one and the same. But because of the mind, you don't think that way. You think you are small, petty, good for nothing, you condemn yourself because of the mind. So you need to purify your mind, you need to understand your mind, you need to make your mind one-pointed, you need to make your mind dynamic so that you don't think this way. All troubles have been created by your mind. Such a mind has capacity, such a mind has ability, and it can lead you. So it is both ways. If you do not know how to make usage of your mind, it can create hellish problems for you. If you know how to use it, it can lead you to heaven. Hell and heaven are two concepts created by your mind and you can feel and realize. There are no such places, according to yoga science, that where one is pushed to go to hell. It's your mind who leads you to a state of mind. Many a times you say, oh hell, you know. Means you realize that hell, you experience that hell here in this world. We are already in hell, but our effort can convert this hell into heaven and you can enjoy mind, mind, mind. Now we are leading that mind to that fountain which is fountain of force. And their mind comes to know that there is it's in latent force. What to do? So with the help of breathing, which is a twin law of life, mind and breath. If you deal with one, you have to deal with other. If you deal with other, you will have to arrange one. By understanding your mind, making your mind one-pointed, you have to learn something about breathing. Many exercises you do, and finest of all exercises called Sushumna application. When you learn how to apply Sushumna, there is no way for your mind to roam around but go into inner journey. You are disturbed, your mind is disturbed, you don't. Someday you do good meditation, other day you don't, because of Sushumna application. Sushumna has not been applied. So in yoga manual, there are three things in yoga science. The gist of yoga science is to apply Sushumna to awaken Kundalini and lead her to the highest dimension, and then to attain that knowledge which is called knowledge of the Absolute. This is entire yoga system. For that, I have been giving you many practices. Now, last day I will systematize your practice. What can you do? When and what? What time is suitable? And you will have to adjust according to that, and you can do it. I will see that you don't waste your much of your time in, you see, thinking, in daydreaming. So when you learn this practice to awaken the fire which is already within you, the reservoir. Now you see, the reservoir of this place is somewhere else. When you know that in our town there is a reservoir, then we know how to arrange the switches. You see, switch off, it's darkness. Switch on, it's light. So is the case with the yogis, because their whole life they devote in knowing the interior world, and for them external world is nothing but fragment of internal world. They don't give much importance to the external world. They understood, they have already understood the values of death and birth, and they want to go beyond. They want to be free from this cycle, because this cycle has not been created by God. That's why freedom from the snares, freedom from the bondage of birth and death is known to them. They know that God is not responsible for birth and death, but your own desires are responsible for that. You come to accomplish your desires. You don't accomplish, and again you are reborn. There is some desire with you when you leave this platform, so you come back again to fulfill your desire, exactly the way you start your day every day. What do? Immediately you check what you have to do. It is arranged by you. That is called predestined. Who decides? You. Predestined means it has not been decided by God. If God has decided all this, then you don't have to do anything. You are not a sinner, you are not a good person, you see. You become good and bad according to your choice, your deeds, your thoughts, your emotions, your speech. So you do that. So learn to understand this, that you come to this platform and go away because of your desires, and you have to analyze and understand your desire world. You can reduce them, important desires which are helpful to them. To you, you should fulfill. Those which are not helpful, you should not fulfill them. Desire die if you do not bring them, if you do not allow them to be materialized, to be fulfilled in the external world. I want to steal your notebook, I want to steal your watch, but I tell my hand, okay, let my mind steal, I am not going to move. This way you can practice. This way you can philosophize. You can understand and then practice and strengthen your practice. All day you can do it. Don't worry for the mistakes. Don't do that. If you commit mistake and you are flattened by that mistake, and then you start condemning yourself, that's not the way. You get sickness. No, you are still a kid. You are stumbling. You are learning to walk. I will walk. One day I will walk. I should first learn to crawl well. I am not crawling well, you see. You should learn to crawl, and that crawling will lead you to walking. That walking will lead you to running. That running will lead you to stillness. We have run enough according to your capacity. Then you say, okay, I crawled, I jogged, I walked, I ran. Let me see what happens when I sit still. You cannot become still. You have to face many, many problems because you have never trained yourself. What is crawling in being still? What is preliminary step? To watch your gestures, to watch your movements. Why? To watch your movements so that your body does not create movement. My body is not disciplined to be straight. So my body rebels and will go through many tortures. And then you say, it is treacherous. The Swamiji is giving me bad practice. I feel pain. You see, pain is a great something that I have experienced. I don't like it. No one likes it. But it has given me something great. If I leave myself, it should not leave me. Whatever creativity I found out because of pain. And I call it a joy. That painful joy has led me to make poems, to sing my own songs, to be with myself, to feel that this world is just a camp. I am going through it. It's not my home. Nothing belongs to me. I have come to serve and I have not come to enjoy the things of the world. That's my philosophy about it. I don't want to part with it. My master tried his best. I am very sensitive. He tried his best to train me. He could not take my inherent quality of soul to be in deep pain and sorrow, or disappointed from the world. Many times I thought, you see, how did I examine? That which I wanted, I saw it with you. And I went to you and I asked you, are you happy with what you have? You said, no. Then I wanted something more and I went to somebody who has that. So I went to people from one to another. No one was happy. Then I sat down, I said, if I have all this what I want, will I be happy? And the voice came from inside, never. You see, find out what is your prime desire of life. Prime desire of life is to attain a state of freedom from all pains and miseries, to go beyond. I am not getting this, I am not getting this, I am not getting this, I wish I get it. You see, you are tossed all the time by your mind, by your desires. Why do you allow yourself to be there? Why do you not go to somebody who has got the same objects as you have in your mind and just ask him, will you be happy? Are you happy? He said, no. What do you want? I want a beautiful car. Then go to somebody who has got a beautiful car. What do you consider beautiful? The highest of cars. He is not happy. Big balance, he has no happy. So you have examined all four B's. Beautiful man or beautiful woman. Bank balance. A big car. Good one. You understand? And you have got all these B's with you. But you are not happy. That happiness. So mind goes through examining superficial things and happiness. But mind doesn't find. When mind finds happiness, when it goes, it tries to find out the source of energy because you don't find energy. So you want energy. External objects do not inspire you, do not give you energy. So you go inside and then you go to this source, Mooladhara, where there is latent energy. It's like that. You have immense wealth buried in your own home and you have no loaf of bread and cup of tea. You are starving. So you have to dig that. Here you have to blow off those ashes which has made that fire dormant. And for that you use a process, a method, which is called blowing off. Even breath here. If to talk about even breath, it's easy. That's how you regulate. That's a defective way, but there is no other way. In the beginning, you regulate your breath. Exhalation 8 and inhalation 8. and you don't try to create the pulse. So when yogis saw that there is something between exhalation and inhalation, and pranayama does not mean inhalation and exhalation, excuse me that. I've been teaching you because you are not prepared to understand. Pranayama does not mean inhalation and exhalation. No matter how much you regulate them, what capacity you have, pranayama, actually yama. Pra means energy, yama means control. Control of what? Not the channel of inhalation and exhalation, that which is called pause. If you are able to control the pause, which is killer, which is source of many diseases, you have done it. Control means what? Learning to understand the nature of the pause. You are naturally creating a pause. When you exhale completely, then you create a pause. When you have completely inhaled, you create a pause. This pause should be controlled, you see. That's why puraka, inhalation, rechaka, exhalation, are not important, but kumbhaka is important. Kumbhaka means retention. In retention, what do? You try to control the pause. Pause is for a moment and you want to pause for 6 seconds. You want to increase it for... Pause is a killer. When you do not inhale and exhale, then that's called death. If you want to control death, you should learn to have control over pause. So actual pranayama starts when you have known how to control pause, how to have kumbhaka. I don't teach kumbhaka here knowingly to everyone because you people don't have the knowledge of bandhas. You see, you don't have time. You want everything to be done like this by machines, by this and by this, but not yourself. While in yoga, you have to get involved. You have to commit yourself. You have to do it. And then you attain it. That's only one problem. Experience yourself. If my parents have gone to heaven, God bless them. Let them be there. But if I do not prepare myself to go to heaven, my parents have no power to call me. They will have to come down to the earth to be my parents. But in the heavens, they are not my parents. Because it's the individual effort that leads you to a state of happiness, that leads you to a state of heaven, you see. So it's the mind that makes hell and heaven. When you train that mind, and when mind is hopeless and helpless, when mind says, I cannot do something, I cannot deal with the situation in the external world, I cannot deal with the situation in the inner world, then mind is led over here to have enough fire, that warmth, that energy. So for this, awakening I call fire, and the knowledge through which you are doing all this I call light. Light of knowledge, light of discrimination, light of understanding, light of love, light of knowledge. So this is called fire and light. You need both. They both are one and the same. You see, light immediately does not give us warmth the way fire gives. Fire does not give enough light, but gives more warmth. We have to understand that on our platform. So by exhaling and inhaling, creating that sound like a bellows sound, exactly even breath is used in soham, 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 soham. You see, your breath sings that. Your mind is tuned to your breath, and breath goes and blows that those ashes, impurities, and with latent fire, then it is no more latent. There you see, the fire is there, you see. It's a great joy. It takes some time for you to do that. You don't have that patience. Many of you, I have a good, very close disciple, whom I love like my son. He knows many things, but he has no patience. He doesn't do his practice well. And if he doesn't do his practice, he doesn't have experience. If he doesn't have experience, he jumps to another practice, another. And he never gets any experience. That's my problem. I have been dealing with him, but I'm not successful. I cannot convince him. Today he will practice this, he will not be disappointed. Tomorrow this, tomorrow this, tomorrow this. So this is not good. Don't stop till you attain, till you experience. Why do you waste your time from jumping from one to this and one to this and one to this? There is only one method for inner journey. There cannot be two. Not possible. There are varieties of paths outside, but there is only one scientific method. I'm fathoming all the levels systematically. There is no trick, you see, that can tame the monkey. Monkey can be made dance outside with the sound and this. You know how you train animals? You use two systems to train animals, because I used to train my dogs, so I understand I did about the subject. You use the sound and use the sign, sign and sound. You see, you are not animal. So don't apply this on to yourself. And then you use two methods. The animal is made aware of two things, award and punishment. The biscuit is there. When it has done its work, the biscuit is given. When it has not done its work, paper is rolled to make a big sound, you see, to hit. There is no hurt, but that sound is very bad, you see. It is more than any punishment. So reward is punishment and award. Exactly that thing you apply to your children, you see. You have to learn to do it. I will not go to another step unless I have attained this step. These steps described in the manuals are not described by the fools. I am not wiser than them. Why do I understand once for all? Why do I not understand once for all? That they are written by great people, their experiences are, you see, mentioned in the manuals. Why do I not learn to understand? Why am I not doing this? If I cannot do this, how do I know that I can do that? They waste their time. And I have been settling my head for many, many years. They don't listen to me. I want to practice this, okay, you practice. I want to practice that, okay, this practice. What happened? No, I want to practice something else. If you start, you go to New York. Today say, I'll go this way. Half of the way you say, I don't like to go. You come back again. Okay, I'll go by car. Then you go, my car is not good. I will go through by air. So you tell your pilot to come back. I don't like that. I like to walk. You see, there on the way you meet a girl, you know, your habits distract you. You meet a girl, the girl said, hey, you are uselessly doing all this, come on, let's enjoy. You are distracted. So what the methods will do, what the paths will do, how the paths are bad. You see, you have to train yourself. You are beginning to grasp things, but you are not, you see, honest enough with yourself to follow the path. There is no way you can be transformed. A teacher, a tradition can help you only 50%, I told you. My master told me, go and stand there, what is free will? You have a free will. I said, I don't have. I am your slave, I know that. Do this from morning till evening. Sometimes I used to be rebellious. I don't want to do all this hell. I am sick. My friends are drinking and dancing and playing drums in Delhi, and you are telling me to do this or to do this. This is not good. I am only 20, 22 years away. What have you done to me? Where are my ties, suits and all these things? Where is my car? Where are my dogs? Where are my gardens and home and all this? You see. He did not have any answer. He said, then why are you here in the cave? I wanted to understand. Don't waste your time. Listen to me. I said, what do you mean by listen to me? You have made me a slave. Whole day you said this, do this, do this, do this, I don't do this. What is my personality? What is my free will? You have 50% of free will. What is that? He said, go and stand there. You stand on your one foot. This is your free will. Can you stand without any feet? 50% you don't have. Are you applying the 50% of will to know what you want to know? No. Now you want me, you don't want to use your free will and you want somebody to use his free will for you.
You see.
So with a student, it's 100%. 50% your own and 50% your teacher's. So you are complete. Learn to use that.
You see.
In the path of spirituality, you don't lie. You cannot lie. If you are liar, you are punished very badly. You see. So you better learn to practice it. Practice, practice, practice. For one thing, there are students, they are very learned, they understand things, but they don't practice. There are some people, they practice, they are very honest in practicing, but they don't understand. This is a problem. So understand this. If you have knowledge and you don't practice the experience what you have known, you cannot be happy. You see? There are two ways. Practice first and through experience you become, the experience will become your guide and lead you. One. Know and through your knowledge start practicing. There are only two paths. There is no third path. So again and again I have been telling you, sometimes I get very sad. Why do you not understand this? As far as you are concerned to yourself, be honest to yourself. If you are not honest to yourself, you are not honest outside and you will be unhappy both within and without. That's a very bad thing to do.
Yes.
Your mind is full of thoughts and desires and you are not settled and you are not determined, how can you do? Learn, place yourself in a position. Learn to study still and then start doing this thing. You know your mind is scientific. When you throw a rock, it hits somewhere and there is reaction. Every action has reaction. How do you know? How do you say that you don't meditate and there is no reaction? Not possible. You are being unscientific. The reaction is always unconscious, for this is internal journey. You see. The sounds which I am telling you, these sounds, if magnified, they make this sort of form. This will make a different form. You see. This is a form made by another sign. For this, sound traveled and created a form, and that's why it is. But if you write somewhere, Mr. Ram, help me, Mr. Ram is not going to help you. Because it has been magnified in the external world. Now you'll have to go to the source inside from where that sound has come. It is a form. Now this form gives me knowledge of the sound and sound gives me knowledge of the silence from where all these sounds come out. You have to go to the silence. Physical and mental, both. You have to be. You have to get rid of the sound. You have to go beyond. You have to cross those sounds which you know, distract and dissipate your mind. You know. You have to do it. So there is a system of going inside. You see. Suppose you pick up a subject, mindfulness. What mindfulness will do to you? What do you mean mindfulness? Attention. You pay attention towards something that you are doing. First preliminary step of meditation. You cannot concentrate your mind if you are not mindful. You have to pay attention towards the things that you are doing and you have to train your mind. Very preliminary. You see. So you have to learn that. Here, Ram. This is fire. This controls this particular dimension. There are three lokas. They are called lokas. There are three spheres in this universe, grossly. This is called Rudra Khanda, this is called Vishnu Khanda, this is called Brahma Khanda. You see. But you have to know. Many schools say systematically know all the chakras. Other schools say you will waste whole life. Don't do that. There are shortcuts. Know about all the chakras, when the flashes come from different chakras, when the different sounds intervene, when the different thought patterns come, when the different forms and images come, those imageries will distract your mind. So we are informing you, this particular image comes from such and such chakra, this particular sound comes from such and such chakra, this fragrance comes from such and such chakra. So you remember this. When you are meditating on Ajna Chakra, if a flash comes, suddenly you start having fragrance, then think you are not meditating on Ajna Chakra, but you are meditating at Mooladhara. And you think that you are meditating on Ajna Chakra. So your information helps you there. So here teacher sees you, where you, what you need, where your mind is, he gives you a practice. You see. But if you are not honest to yourself, that which is important is honesty. Not to teachers, not to anyone, but to yourself. Are you honest? When you are sitting, you don't sit because Swami Rama told you. You know, you pick up my words, that in 3 months' time this will happen. So you sit 3 months' time hallucinating. I never told you to hallucinate. You should be honest with yourself, and for 3 months you should watch and see. You know, according to my status, my brilliance, I think 3 months is enough, 6 months is enough, 1 year is enough, at the most 3 years. After that you are called duller, a dumb, you know, a dummy. Yes, sir. So what do you need? Be honest to yourself, no matter what happens, so many months, I will devote my time exactly the same time. The question comes, what is prominent in your life? Your girlfriend is prominent, your sexuality is prominent, or your meditation is prominent? That counts a lot. You have to be honest to yourself. You have to be very, very honest to yourself when you are meditating. If you are honestly do something in the external world, you reap the fruits according to the intensity, one-pointedness of your action. Why in the inner world you are meditating, there is something wrong with you. If you sit because I told you to sit, you will not get anything. You should be prepared for that. You should be honest, you should be sincere to yourself, and then you should do it. That's very important, I'm telling you. You see, mind strengthens that particular desire which is already in the mind. So mind should be emptied from those desires. There should be only one desire, desire for meditation, desire for going inside. You will fail, does not matter. But why do you give up? It means you have wasted so much time and you will be going to waste more time in experiments which are nothing, which will not give you anything. So first of all, you should learn how to awaken, how to have what? First of all, first step in Sushumna is learning to change the breath according to your wish and according to your desire with the help of your mental ability. I am breathing. One of my nostrils is active, another is passive. Why can't I change it? If I don't have control over these two breaths, I'm not telling you not to breathe. I'm just telling you to change the flow. This way you can see the tendency of your mind. So you should first learn to change whenever you want. You can do that. Once you are able to do this, there are many physical methods you can read in the books. But they are not helpful. If you lie down left side, the right nostril will become active. If you lie down right side, the left nostril. There are many methods. If you press this part, the right nostril will become active. If you put a pillow, the right nostril. There are many such, but I don't recommend this. You see. What do? You pay attention to the right nostril. Suppose it is blocked. If there is no sinusitis, sinus problem, if it is not clogged with mucus, immediately mind pays attention and that breath. You become active because of the mind. When mind is absent, there is no content, you are in deep sleep. When mind becomes aware, mind wants your hand to move, it moves. Mind does not want your hand to move, it does not move. You know this simple theory. You see, breath follows mind. And later on, mind is helped by the breath. And it's a unique thing, you see. You can do a simple experiment. Close your nostril and don't allow yourself to inhale or exhale. Immediately mind will be focused on the breath because they are very close associates, close friends. So here you are asking your mind to, you see, to pay attention. Learn to train your mind on the breath. Breath is the finest of objects for focusing the mind in the beginning. That is my recommendation. Buddhist scriptures, Hindu scriptures, ancient scriptures, Jewish scriptures say life is breath and breath is life. You see? So learn to that. Let your mind pay attention, you are breathing. What type of breath? What quality of breath? Is it clogged? Why it is clogged? So you see. Immediately you will find that has opened. Breath has opened. And it changes the flow. When you have learned to change the flow, then what do you want? You see a very subtle difference. You are inhaling and exhaling, and suddenly it changes from one nostril to another. A moment comes when both nostrils start flowing freely. You inhale and exhale equally from both. You see, you do that. During that time, you cannot think of anything silly. You are in joy. That's called wedding period. Do you ever realize it? No, you have heard it. You have read it, but you have never realized it. What type of joy it is? I eat something very delicious. Are you getting taste? You see how I chew. You learn how to chew. You learn how to eat, but you have never eaten. So this is called experience. Drawn from your own self by doing practice. That experience which comes through practice is a higher quality. Then you don't need any evidence, your doubts are eliminated, they are expelled. Till then, doubts will lurk in your mind, which will disturb you, which will waste your energy time running around here, there and everywhere. Don't do that to yourself. That's my advice. When you apply Sushumna, when you start allowing you, with the help of your one-pointed mind, you allow both your breath to flow freely. And it's calm and serene. During that time, then you just ask your mind to travel through the subtle channel which is inside your central canalis, that is called Brahmani Nadi. There is another channel inside that is called Saraswati Nadi, the channel of wisdom. You ask your mind to become very subtle, go through that channel to that Mooladhara, and there with the sound, you are already breathing, but the sound, your sound and mind, they become one, mind becomes a sound, and sound becomes your mind. Such a time, such a state of your mind leads you to that state. There you find fire and you see it with the help of your mind. That sound already has mind, your mind and sound are one. You see it. Then you want to lead your mind. What do you see? You see this sad sort of form, lung. There is one sound there which creates a form. First you come in contact with gross things, when you pay attention, then you come. When you see a handsome man, first you look at him, what a beautiful man is he. When you know him, hey, he's very silly, stupid. It looks beautiful from outside, but inside is nothing. So you reject the idea of that outer appearance, and you dismiss. This man doesn't have qualities. You see, I wish he could be handsome and full of qualities, you know. So you want to see another, then you come in touch with the sound, lam. And you see the lam is magnified. It doesn't help you. Then you want to go to the subtler aspect of lam, which is in the silence. Then you go to the silence and there you found what lam means. It is not lam, it is not like this, it's that very subtle sound. And with the help of that sound, if you come out with a desire, anything in the external world, you gain it. You attain it. Wealth, physical prosperity, all the pleasures concerning to your senses. That's what the sound does, provided it is known from its origin and not from by through this. It is not lost, it is magnified, and great people can pick up that. There has been an experiment in Kurukshetra, the battlefield, which is still in India. People went over there to pick up the sounds, how Krishna taught his student Arjuna during the battle in the battlefield. This Gita has come in 18 days' time. So they tried to pick up the sounds. They went over there with the very sensitive machines. They understood that it can be done, but they find that we are not still capable. They understand the system, but they don't know that they are able to do it today. They have to still work hard to make such sensitive machines which can pick up the sounds. Going back to several centuries and picking up those sounds, because sounds are in the atmosphere, and one sound is interfered by another sound, and these are waves. A sound creates a wave, and wave is a form of the sound. So there are many forms, and there are many sounds, and they are mingled, and there are like this. So you have to understand that inside within you. So for all the external sensual thing, you take that. Now, such a group in Tantra Shastra is called Kala, Kala group. Kala word, Kula, you see. They say, they don't want to hear that don't drink liquor, no. They say liquor makes you manimal. Sattvic people say, don't drink it. They say no. That which becomes an obstacle, same thing can be used to become a good person. We are using it very little. We are not allowing this liquor to destroy our habits. Their theory is that. So they use panchmakaras, ashtamakaras, ma. In Tantra Shastra, Pandit Rajamani will talk to you about it. So is the case with one. Here, yellow. No. Whenever there is a flash of yellow light during your meditation, it is definitely coming from Muladhara. Whether there is a flash of blue light, it comes from Swadhisthana. During that time, blue light. Then when it comes to run, red light. If you don't ever have red light, it shows. Don't have red flashes, it shows that you need warmth in your body, you are losing a warmth of life. There is something wrong, your digestion is poor, your saliva is not able to lead your food to that situation where your gastric fire is okay. So these colors will tell you about your body, about your mind. These colors are the symptoms which tell you, oh, I am losing something. I should create. Then what do you do? What we people say, Manipur Chakra, the navel center. We tell the students, those who are weak in constitution, to concentrate on this. If you are sensitive to all the vibrations that are going on in your body, then you can use this. Samjhe? All the sensitivity should be there. You know what is going on with you. Something nice is happening, are you progressing or not? Why are you not you are very sensitive. Sensitive means what? You must have heard a word called sixth sense. But there are only five senses. What do you mean by sixth sense? Where do you open that? When you direct all the five senses towards one direction, that situation, that state is called sixth sense. That particular state is called sixth sense.
You see?
And then that sixth sense leads you to extrasensory perception. Extrasensory means normally you are not sensitive, your senses are not capable to receive that. That particular state when you have withdrawn all your five senses, you don't hear, you don't taste, you don't touch, you don't see, you don't do things through your senses. Gross senses are assimilated. Then during that time, mind creates all that force which mind uses, in which mind uses your senses, that force is taken inside. That's why the senses are isolated. Gita says, Matra Sprasastu Kaunteye. When your senses contact the matter, then it has two stimulation, pain and pleasure. All pain and pleasure come from the matter, you see. They don't last for a long time, because for much time you cannot have that situation. Why do you feel love for each other? Why do you feel lost when you two meet, man and woman? Because the senses contact the matter. And from that, either you get repulsion, pain, or you get joy, you see. Beyond that, there is one joy that is called mental joy. Beyond that is spiritual joy. Beyond that is absolute joy. I am telling you to go beyond, not to be lost, not to be scattered in this only. I am not telling you not to do this. This world, even if I tell you, you are not going to listen to me. You see? I saw my dog, very faithful dog, losing all the control and not listening to me during mating period. There is no such dog in the world who does not run away, gets crazy during that time. So how sex drives you crazy? You are most intelligent, you are a very good person, but if you have not, you see, directed that properly, yogis, it's easy for you. Because there are many such kriyas mentioned in yoga manual. Why do you not practice one of the kriyas and at least be free if you want to lead this path or have balance? Asana is done. Accomplished pose is used for that by yogis, where the heel is put at perineum. The yoga manual gives you many such exercises, therapeutic exercises. Those exercises come under this domain, and you cannot do those exercises efficiently if you do not know anything about the position of Kundalini at the spinal column, Muladhara Chakra. When you rise that Kundalini sleeping fire, lead it to her own home, here you get, you see, that great glittering light, that great power. No one is beautiful. All the beauty has come from there. You will find that little girl sitting here. What a beautiful is she. Oh, can you see such a beauty outside? You see, Swadhisthana, her own abode. She was intoxicated by the wines offered by the senses, you see. So she took it and she lost her home, left her home, and she is not prepared to go back because she is intoxicated. She is not in her normal mood. So if you are drugged, if you are intoxicated, you don't care for your home. You like to sit in the bar where you can get again and again and again. One of the great poets said to another friend of his, "You offer me drinks. Every day I am grateful to you. Why do you not give me something so that I forget myself completely forever and ever? I have not to drink again." This intoxication is such an intoxication. Once you drink, you are intoxicated forever. You cannot lose that. You don't wreck your liver, you don't wreck your nervous system, you don't wreck your locomotor. In Swadhisthana, any disease which is related to your fluid system in the body, blood,
You see?
When you play tennis, when you walk too much, you perspire. What that medical science says? You should compensate. Any disease which is related to your fluid, because most of the weight in you is not of bone and flesh, but of water. You have many, many liters of water and liquid in your body. Any disease which is related to can be helped by on this. How to help? So, any disease related to matter here, any disease related to Swadhisthana chakra here, then comes very important, which is called Manipur chakra. In the literature, it's called Kanda. You see, which controls entire lower hemisphere, lowest hemisphere. You see, fire that gives you digestion, that controls both fluids, gastric and saliva. Now, a doctor tells me, Swami, you are not healthy, you better take vitamins. But suppose I don't have saliva enough, and I don't have gastric juice enough, how can I digest that food? Here comes inferiority of food and dietary system. Very good, wonderful. Without food and diet, without nutritious diet, you cannot live nicely, healthy. But there is another thing more. With the diet, you should prepare your mind also while eating. Don't eat if you are not calm. Delay eating. You have to learn to be calm so that the gastric juice and saliva is active. Why do you say pray and grace in all the great tradition? There is, grace before. You should be calm. During that time, you become calm. Your mind becomes unpointed. That helps your gastric juice to be active, saliva to be active. That's the point. So, don't ever fight on your dining table. In modern life, wife and husband do not have time. Hardly they meet in the weekend. And even during the weekend, somebody goes for golf, somebody goes for tennis, somebody goes for swimming, and they have different interests. Yet they are wife and husband. So they hardly meet. Okay, honey, this evening we will meet on the dining table. And they discuss silly things, all the frustrations, all the things. And what happens then? Food is not digested. There is one finer part in you that is called right vagus nerve. That plays a great role in your digestion. So if you are not breathing well, the motion of lungs is disturbed, and the heart is disturbed, pumping station, your right vagus nerve is disturbed. So breath has also something to do with your digestion. With the help of breathing, you can improve your digestion. With the help of calming your heart, or even breath, we can help the pumping station. So even breath has been very therapeutic as far as digestion is concerned, remember that. Now, what is that system in your body which is responsible for cleansing process? Tell me. There are four apparatuses in your body. What?
Kidney.
That's one of them. What is that called in medical science? Quickly.
Huh?
Yes.
Your organic system.
Huh?
Your organic system.
Okay, your mind always goes there. You have four different apparatuses in your body. Pores, lungs, bowels and kidneys. As much as you take care of your what? Huh? Nourishing system, you should take care of this. You see. If you are not taking care of the cleansing system, and if you are nourishing your body, even then you cannot be healthy. So those who are taking care of their diet and nutrition and not taking care of their cleansing system, pores should secrete well, lungs should function well, bowel should move well, kidney should function well. Then you will find yourself healthy. You see. Otherwise, you are taking the best of the diet and you are drinking, you are supplying fluid, but you are not using it. So remember this. Manipur chakra is unique to concentrate upon for the sake of health. Use this therapy.